Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Yom Tov Perek Hey. The topic of this perek is carrying objects on Yom Tov. It may seem puzzling that there is anything more to say on this topic, as we learned in Perek Aleph that the Malacha of Hotzah is entirely suspended on Yom Tov, whether for Ochal Nefesh or for any other purpose. But Chazal still required that the manner in which one carries heavy objects on Yom Tov differ from the way he does so on other days, as part of the general prohibition of Uvdin Dechol, acting on Yom Tov as if it were a regular day of the week. This is the topic of the first part of our perek. The topic of the second and longer part, ironically enough, is only relevant because carrying on Yom Tov is entirely permitted. We learned back in Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Chaf Zayin, about the Isser of leaving the 2,000 Amot of Tchum Shabbat. Those halachot related only to walking, not to carrying objects, because on Shabbat it is forbidden to carry in a Rishut HaRabim or a Carmelite. But the Isser of leaving Tchum applies also on Yom Tov, when carrying is permitted. And so the question arises, how do we determine the Tchum of an object within which it may be carried on Yom Tov? That is the second topic of our Perek. Halacha Aleph. Afal pishu hutra hotza'a biyom tov, afilu shlo letzorech, lo yisa masa'ot gedolot kederech shuose bachol, ela tzarich lishanot, vim i efshar lishanot, mutar. Ketzad, hamevi kadei yayin, mimakom lakom, lo yiviyem besal uvkupa, aval mevi hu al ktefo o lefanav, hamolich et ha-teven, lo yafshil et ha-kupa lachorav, aval molicha biyado. Though carrying is permitted on Yom Tov, even for no purpose at all, one may not carry heavy loads as he does during the week, but rather must do so in an irregular manner. If this is impossible, then he may carry normally. Some examples of changes in the normal manner of carrying. One who takes barrels of wine from one place to another may not carry four or five at a time in a basket or some other large container, but rather one or two at a time on his shoulder or in front of him. Someone moving a bale of hay should not sling it over his shoulder, which allows him to transport a greater quantity, but rather he must carry it in his hands. The Ramah points out that this entire halacha refers to one who is carrying in a public area, like a mavoi or a reshut harabim, where people see him, and therefore one must avoid the usual weekday manner of carrying. But when one moves barrels or hay around his house, or within his chatzer, then this change isn't necessary. And the Mishneh Berurah adds that it is even preferable in this situation to carry in the normal weekday manner in order to minimize the number of trips he has to make. Halacha bet. V'chein masa'ot shedarkan lisa'otan b'mot, yisa'otan al gabo me'achorav. V'shedarkan lisa'otan me'achorav, yisa'otan al ktefo. V'shedarkan lihinasei al katef, yisa'otan biadav lefanav o yifros alehen bigdo. V'chein kol kayotze baze mishinui hamasa. Vim I efshar lishanot, nosei umevi kedarko. Bamed dvarim amurim, b'shenasa al ha'adam, aval al gabei behima lo yavi klal, shelo yaseh kederech shuose bachol. A load which would ordinarily be carried on a pole should be carried on one's back. A load ordinarily carried on his back should be carried on his shoulder. And a load ordinarily carried on his shoulder should be carried in his hands in front of him, or at least with a piece of clothing spread over it. Only if it is impossible to follow these guidelines may the load be carried in the ordinary manner. In any event, one may only carry loads on his person, not on an animal, in order to avoid acting in the normal weekday manner. The Magid Mishnah quotes other Rishonim, like the Rashba, who believe that carrying loads on an animal is forbidden for a more basic reason, namely the general Gzeira Dirabanan against using an animal for any reason, like for riding, on Shabbat or Yom Tov, as we learned in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Chaf Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gra, who goes even further. Using one's animal to carry a load on Yom Tov is a violation of the Isser Doraita of Shvitat Behemto. This conclusion rests on two assumptions. The first is that the Isser of Shvitat Behemto applies on Yom Tov at all. This is not obvious because the Pasuk, which is the source of Shvitat Behemto, refers specifically to Shabbat, as we mentioned on an earlier occasion. The second assumption is that even though carrying isn't considered a malacha on Yom Tov, this is only true for people and not for animals. The rationale for this distinction is that the heter of hotzah is based on the principle of mitoch shehutra litzorech, hutra shelo litzorech. Just as hotzah is permitted for the purpose of ochal nefesh, so too it is permitted for other reasons. But this principle doesn't apply to an animal for whom there is no heter of melechet ochal nefesh in the first place. We'll summarize some of the more relevant halachot from the rest of this part of the perek. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes that a blind person may not go out on Yom Tov with his walking stick, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this. But the Mishnah Berurah clarifies that this refers only to a partially blind person who can walk without the stick and who uses it only to ensure that he walks in a straight path. One who needs a stick in order to walk, whether because of blindness or some other disability, may carry his stick anywhere on Yom Tov. It is forbidden to transport a person in a chair or carriage carried on people's shoulders, unless this is done to benefit the general public. A ladder may not be carried around outdoors due to marit ayin. It looks like he's going to fix his roof. But it may be carried around within a reshut hayachid, and the Mishnah Berurah permits carrying around within the house a small ladder meant for use inside the home. One who has fruit on his roof and wishes to move them elsewhere may not move them to another roof, even one of an adjacent building at the same height, nor may he take them down a ladder or lower them from the roof in order to bring them into the house through a window on the side of the building. The only way he can move the fruit off the roof is by dropping them through a skylight in the roof directly into the house. One who slaughters an animal in the field may only carry it back to his home one limb at a time, not the entire carcass tied to a pole as he would do during the week. But carrying one limb at a time is a much slower procedure, and so the Mishnah Berurah permits carrying the carcass all at once if he is rushing to prepare the meat for guests to eat. Halacha Vav formulates a rule about what may be sent as a gift to a friend or colleague on Yom Tov. Kol shenei otin bo afilu bachol, afal pi she'ein neotin bo biyom tov, kegon tfilin, mutar l'shalcho l'chavero biyom tov, ve'ein tzarich lomar devar she'neotin bo biyom tov, kegon yenot, shmanim uslatot, shemutar l'shalchan, v'chol davar she'ein neotin bo bachol, ad she'yaseh bo melacha shasur lasoto biyom tov, ein meshalchin oto biyom tov. One may send on Yom Tov any gift, certainly one which can be used on Yom Tov, like wine, flour, and oil, and even a gift which can only be used on Chol, like a pair of tefillin. However, the gift must be something which is usable without doing first a malacha which is forbidden on Yom Tov. For example, Halacha Zayin adds, one may not send a gift of wheat kernels on Yom Tov, because these must be ground into flour in order to make bread, and grinding wheat kernels is forbidden on Yom Tov. But one may send a gift of legumes, kitniot, because these can be roasted and eaten on Yom Tov. And similarly, one may send a live animal or bird to eat, as these may be shechted on Yom Tov. Halacha Chet concludes this part of the perek by stating that sending gifts on Yom Tov should not be done in a group of three people or more, unless each person is carrying a separate part of the gift on his own, because carrying by a group of people resembles the manner in which food items are generally transported to the marketplace on a weekday to be sold. Halacha Tet begins the second topic of this perek, the rules of Eruv Tchumin for objects. Ha-ma'arev eruvei tchumin li-yom tov, harei behem tov v'chelav uv'erotav kamohu, ve'ein molichin otan ela betoch alpaim amal l'chol ruach shememekom eruvo. When one sets up an eruv tchumin on Yom Tov to be the center of his tchum, all objects in his possession, including any animals, utensils, and food belonging to him, have the same tchum that he does, and hence may only be moved within 2,000 amot of his eruv tchumin. Halacha Yud. Cheftzei hefker, harei hen kiraglei bishezacha behen, vecheftzei hagoi konin shvita bimkomam, v'yesh lehen alpaim amah l'chol ruach mimkoman, gzera balim goi mishum balim Yisrael. Perot shiatzu chutz litchuman v'chazru, afilu b'meizid, lo hifsidu et mekoman, mipnei she'en kadam shiatza ba'ones v'chazar ba'ones. I'll come back to the first line of this halacha at the end. An object belonging to a non-Jew should really have no tchum at all, as its owner is not subject to the laws of tchum Shabbat. But as a gzera, lest it be confused with an object belonging to a Jew, such an object has a tchum of 2,000 amot from the spot where it is located when Shabbat begins. If an object was carried outside its tchum and then back inside it, even if this was done intentionally by whoever did it, it has the din of a person who both leaves his tchum and returns to it against his will, as the object itself indeed had no choice in the matter, whose tchum is the same as it was before he left, as we learned in Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Chav Zayin. The first line of this halacha says that an object which is hefker when Yom Tov begins is considered to have the tchum of whoever picks it up and takes possession of it over the course of Yom Tov. The Ravid rejects this psak of the Rambam, as he believes that this opinion in the Mishnah is ultimately rejected by the Gemara. The Ravid believes that an object of hefker, like one belonging to a goy, is konesh vita in its place, and may only be moved within 2,000 amot of wherever it was at the start of Yom Tov. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama accept the view of the Rambam in this matter. Halacha Yud Aleph adds that if a father gives an animal to his son, this has no effect on tchum, and the animal still has the tchum of the father. If someone gives an animal to a shepherd, even if he does so on Yom Tov, as long as he had planned before Yom Tov to do so, the animal has the tchum of the shepherd. But if he gives the animal to two shepherds, then it does not assume the tchum of either one. As we'll see in Halacha Yudchet, when two people share an object, this can shrink the object's tchum significantly. And therefore, in this case of two shepherds, the owner's intent is for the animal to retain his, the owner's, own tchum. Halacha Yudbet. Mi shezimen etzlo orchim biyom tov, lo yolichu biyadam manot l'makom she'ein bal hasuda, yachol elechbo. Shekol hasuda kraglei bal hasuda, lo kraglei haorchim. When someone invites guests on Yom Tov, the food he serves them retains the tchum of the host, even though he knew in advance that the guests were coming. This is not the equivalent of a gift or giving an animal to a shepherd, as the host assumes that the guests will eat the food at his table. If the host wishes, he can be mizakeh to each guest his own portion before Yom Tov, as zechiah usually works through a third party. In which case, each portion takes on the tchum of the guest who acquires it. Halacha Yud Gimel. V'chein mi shayu perotav mufkadin bi'ir acheret, vervu bnei ota ha'ir lavo etzlo, lo yavyu lo mi perotav, shperotav kamohu, af al pi shehen biyad elu she'ervu. B'med v'rim amurim, b'shiyiched lahen keren zavit, aval im lo yiched lahen, harei hen keraglei ze shehen mufkadin etzlo. Suppose that Reuven deposits some fruit with Shimon, who lives in a different city. The cities are more than 2,000 amot apart, so Shimon's city isn't in Reuven's tchum. But Reuven's city is in Shimon's tchum because Shimon set up an Eruv tchum in between the two cities. So Shimon may visit Reuven on Yom Tov, but may he bring with him some of Reuven's fruit? The answer depends on the conditions of the deposit. If Shimon kept the fruit in a specific location of his home, designated for this purpose, a Keren Zavit, then the fruit are considered to belong to Reuven, even as they sit in Shimon's home. Therefore, Shimon may not take them, as they are out of Reuven's tchum. But if the fruit are not in a Keren Zavit, then they are considered to belong to Shimon, and he may take them with him to anywhere in his own tchum. Some Rishonim understand that the difference between the cases is relevant for Shimon's status as a shomer of the fruit. If the fruit are in a Keren Zavit, then Shimon takes no responsibility for them, so they are considered to belong to Reuven. But if they aren't in the Keren Zavit, then Shimon assumes responsibility as a shomer of the fruit, and so they share his tchum. Halacha Yud Dalet. Bor shel yachid keraglei ba'alav, v'shel ota ha'ir keraglei anshei ota ha'ir. V'shel olei bavel, shein musurin lakol, keraglei hamemalei, shekol mi shemilei mehen molichan l'makom shuhu maleich, naharot hamoshchin umayanot hanovin, keraglei kol adam, v'im hayu ba'in michutz latchum letoch hatchum, memalin mehen b'shabbat, ve'in tzarich lomar b'yom tov. This halacha includes three cases of water drawn from a cistern on Yom Tov, and one case of water drawn from another source. If the cistern belongs to an individual, then the water has the tchum of the owner and may not be taken out of his tchum. If the cistern belongs to the residents of a city, then any city resident who draws water from it may take the water to his own tchum. This is in general the tchum of the city, but even if some resident has a different tchum because he made an Eruv tchumin and may carry to a location which is inaccessible to other city residents, he may take his water to anywhere in range of his Eruv tchumin. even though the water began Yom Tov in the cistern mixed with everyone else's water, we may apply here the concept of Breira, which we saw in Hilchot Eruvin Perek Chet, and which will come up explicitly in explanation of a different case at the end of this perek. If the cistern was made for the benefit of Olei Regalim and is available to everyone, then this is equivalent to Hefker, which the Rambam ruled in Halacha Yud has the tchum of whoever takes possession of it during Yom Tov. We saw there that the Ravid disagrees, and here too the Ravid writes that the water has the tchum of 2,000 amot from the cistern itself. Within the opinion of most Rishonim that the water has the tchum of whoever takes it, which is accepted lahalacha, as we mentioned, there is an interesting debate about a case where Reuven takes water out of the cistern, not for himself, but on behalf of Shimon. Does the water have the tchum of Reuven or the tchum of Shimon? The simplest approach to this question is to follow the rules of Kinyan. The halacha is that hamagbia mitzia l'chaveiro kana chaveiro, that is, Shimon acquires the water when Reuven picks it up on his behalf, and therefore the water should have Shimon's tchum. The Shulchan Aruch, however, rules that the water has Reuven's tchum, and the rules governing tchum are not identical to those which determine Kinyan. As the Rambam is silent about this case, there are different understandings of his opinion. According to the Ran, the language in the Rambam of Kiraglei HaMimalei indicates that the water has Reuven's tchum, as he is the Mimalei. But the Magen Mishnah thinks that the Rambam relies on the general rules of Kinyan, and so the water has Shimon's tchum. The last case in this halacha is one of rivers and springs. Because this water is constantly in motion, it isn't koneh shvita at all and has no tchum. One may take from this water to anywhere in his tchum, then give it to someone else who may proceed to carry it anywhere in his tchum, and so on. Halacha Tetvav applies the principles behind the third case of the cistern of the Olei Regalim to an ox which is slaughtered on Yom Tov, and its meat sold to people who come from different cities. Since the owner had in mind from before Yom Tov that customers would come from all over to buy portions of the ox on Yom Tov, the ox is considered available to everyone, like the cistern of the Olei Regalim, and whoever takes a portion may transport it to anywhere within his own tchum. Halacha Tetzayin says that a flame is not considered to have any tchum, and so one who lights a candle from someone else's flame may take the candle to anywhere in his own tchum, irrespective of the tchum of the source of the flame. He may then use his candle to light the candle of another person who can take his candle anywhere in his own tchum, and so on. Halacha Yud Zayin. Hashoel kli mechaviro me'erev yom tov, afa pi shelo nitanolo ela biyom tov, harehu kiragle hashoel. Sha'alo mimenu biyom tov, afa pi shedarko tamid lish'ol menu kli b'chol yom tov, harehu kiragle hamashil. If Reuven borrows an object before Yom Tov, or even if the agreement to borrow was made before Yom Tov and the object was physically taken by Reuven on Yom Tov, the object has Reuven's tchum. But if the agreement to borrow was only made on Yom Tov, even though Reuven is accustomed to borrow an object every Yom Tov, the object has the tchum of the lender. Halacha Yudchet. Shnaim sheshaalu chaluk echad, haechad sheshaalu menu sheyitnu lo shacharit, vasheni sheshaalu menu sheyitnu lo arvit, harei kli ze kiraglei shnei hashoalim, veinan molichin oto ela lemakom sheshnehen yicholin lehalech bo. If two people, say Reuven and Shimon, borrow the same object, each for a part of Yom Tov, for example, they borrow a piece of clothing, one to wear it in the morning and the other to wear it in the afternoon, then during the entire day, the object may only be carried within the area which is common to the tchum of both borrowers. Halacha Yotet gives a concrete example, and this is very similar to the case in the beginning of Hilchot Eruvin Perek Chet of someone who mistakenly sets up two Eruvei Tchumen in different directions and is restricted to the area in range of both. Suppose Reuven set up an Eruv Tchumen 1,000 amot to the east of this object, and Shimon set up his Eruv Tchumen 500 amot to the west of the object. So even though Reuven's Tchum extends 3,000 amot east of the object, he may only carry it 1,500 amot east, as that is the eastern edge of Shimon's Tchum. And even though Shimon's tchum extends 2,500 amot west of the object, he may only carry it 1,000 amot west, as that is the western edge of Reuven's tchum. So in an extreme case, in which Reuven put his Eruv tchum in 2,000 amot east of the shirt, and Shimon put his Eruv tchum in 2,000 amot west of it, so that the shirt is located at the western edge of Reuven's tchum, and at the eastern edge of Shimon's, the shirt may not be moved in the east-west direction at all over Yom Tov. Halacha Chaf. V'chein ha'isha sh'sha'ala mechaverta maim o melach, v'lasha behen isata o bishla behen tavshil, hari ha'isa o ha'tavshil k'ragle shtehen. V'chein sh'naim sh'lakchu behema b'shutafut, v'shachatu b'yom tov. Af al pi sh'lakach kol achad menato, hari kol basar k'ragle shnehen. Similarly, if a woman borrows from a neighbor water or salt to add to her dough or to some dish she is cooking, then the completed dough or cooked food may only be carried within the area common to the tchum of the woman and the tchum of her neighbor. If two partners who jointly own an animal split it on Yom Tov, then the meat may only be carried within the area common to the tchum of both partners. Note that this is not like the case in Halacha Tedvav, where a butcher sells portions of an animal to many different customers, and each may take his part to his own tchum. In that case, the butcher had in mind before Yom Tov that each portion should assume the tchum of whoever takes it. Here, the two partners only became joint owners of the animal on Yom Tov itself, or at least had no intention to slaughter and split the animal before Yom Tov began. Continuing in Halacha Chaf, Aval im lakchu chavit b'shutafut v'chalku ota b'yom tov, harei chelko shel kol echad keraglav, ho'ilu tchumin midivrei sofrim, yesh b'ira bahen, v'nachshov ki'ilu chelek shigia laze haya barur lo u'muvdal b'chavit me'erev yom tov, u'ch'ilu lo haya me'orav. Ve'ein ata yachol lomar ken ba behema, shechelek ze shigio, afilu nachshov oto shaya muvdal ba behema mi ba'erev, uchilu haya barur, hare yanak mechelko shel chavero, kishaita behema kayemet, shekol evareha yonkin ze mize, v'nimtza kol ever ve'ever me'orav mechelko v'chelek chavero, levichach hein keraglei shnehen. However, if two partners jointly own a barrel of wine and decide on Yom Tov to split it, each partner may take his share of the wine to anywhere within his own tchum. The reason is that we may apply the principle of breira, because Eruv tchumin is midrabanan. So even though the division of the wine takes place on Yom Tov, we view it as if even before Yom Tov, each partner owned exactly the share of the wine that he ends up taking the following day. And so each part of the wine is konesh shvitah with its owner. Why can't the same principle of breira be applied to the case earlier in this halacha? The animal owned by two partners? Because unlike wine, the parts of an animal are all joined together and feed off each other. For example, through blood and other fluids and nutrients which are constantly moving from one part of the animal to another. So even if we apply breira and see the animal as split in two when Yom Tov begins, this doesn't help, as by the time the animal is shechted, the halves of the two partners are considered mixed again because of this constant feeding off between the halves. Even though this distinction between a barrel of wine and an animal is advanced by the Gemara, there is a debate whether the conclusion of the Gemara is to accept it or reject it. After all, the wine in the barrel also gets mixed up over the course of Yom Tov, but this doesn't stop us from seeing the final division between the partners as the division of ownership which existed even before Yom Tov began. Therefore, concludes the Mishnah Berurah, in a situation of need, one may rely on the opinion of the Rishonim, who understand that this distinction between the wine and the animal is rejected by the Gemara, and even the different parts of the animal, which is divided among partners on Yom Tov, may be taken by each partner to anywhere within his own tchum. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.